The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In this week's Seder is a chasana, the wedding between Yitzchok and Rivka. Let us learn this evening and see perhaps what we can learn in regards to Shidduchim, Chosen V'Kala. Actually, Rabbeinu Bechaya brings, Rabbeinu Bechaya was one of the Rishenim, the Talmud from the Ramban, from the Sfarish Rishenim, where he brings that it was a minhag, a custom by them, that when a Chosen was on the day of his Chasana in Shul, they used to lay this Sedra for him. Because since this is the first Sedra in the Torah, which goes into detail the making of a wedding, and to see what can be learned from there. This custom seems to have disappeared, at least amongst the Ashkenazim, but there's much we can learn, so let us spend some time in this evening. In Perekhov Dalet, Posek Aleph, Avram Zokin Bo Bayomim, Vashem Berach Es Avram Bakol. And Avram was old, he was getting on in his days, and Hashem blessed Avram with everything. And Avraham said to his servant, his faithful servant, the elder of his house, who ruled over everything in his house, put your hand under my thigh. This was a sign that they used. It's questionable, different opinions as to what, but this was used for a shvua, this act. An oath. And take an oath by the name of the Almighty, the God of the heavens and earth, that you will not take a woman for my son from the daughters of the Kenanim, from the daughters of the Kenanim, who I am living amongst here. But you should go back to my land, and my family, and you shall take there a woman for my son Yitzchok. Abraham was adamant not to take from the Bnei Kenanim, from the daughters of Canaan, but rather to go back to his own family. You cannot say that Abraham's intention was that he wanted to find a good family, like when we look for a shidduch. We want to find a good family. That would not be sufficient, because Avram's family was not necessarily that good. Here he's speaking to go back to where he came from. That would be Aram Naraim. That was in the area of Iran. And that was Terach's family. And he was sending Eliezer back to Nochor, his brother, and to Bisuel, who was his nephew. And this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to separate himself from, go away from there, because they're all idolaters. So, and it wasn't Eretz Yisrael. Hashem told him, go away from there and go to the land which I tell you to. And that land I'll be able to make you into a great nation. So it would seem that if you're looking for a good place, it would be better Eretz Yisrael than to go back to Iran, to Aram Naraim. And they were idolaters. We see consistently that they were. And we see Bisuel. Bisuel was not such a great tzaddik. The fact is, he seems to disappear in the parashas that comes along, and the Medrash says because he tried to poison Eliezer. Tried to murder him, so therefore the angel came and killed Bisuel. And we see Lovan, who was Rivka's brother, he came out to run to meet Eliezer. And his whole intent was that he saw all of the wonderful gifts and the gold and the silver that he brought. And there's Midrashim that tells us that Rivka was so righteous, such a tzaddikus, even though she came from a house of Rishoyim, from evil people. So you can't say that Avraham was interested in Yichus, you know, in family. So then why? The answer is, he did not want the Canaanim, but rather he wanted from the sons of Shem. Avraham's lineage went to Shem, which was one son of Noach. The Canaanim and all of the seven nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael, they came from Chom, which was another son of Noach. And after the flood, an episode took place, and Noach cursed Chom. He cursed Chom and he cursed Canaan. And he blessed Shem. So since Avraham was carrying the tradition of Shem, and he was blessed, Shem was blessed, and Avraham was blessed, and the brachas were to go to Yitzchak, so therefore he did not want Canaan, because Canaan was cursed. And this Rashi brings a little further in the Sedra, because when Eliezer went there, and he told them that he has to bring back a daughter for Yitzchak, he admitted that really he was interested in the Shidduch himself. He wanted his daughter to marry Yitzchak. He said, Ulai and Eli. Ulai is spelled Eli. He said, perhaps you'll make the Shidduch with me, with my family. And then Avraham answered, and he said that Eliezer had come from Canaan. He says, Eliezer, you come from Canaan, which is cursed, which is Orur. And my son is Boruch. And Ein Orur B'dabik B'boruch. An Oru doesn't cleave with a Boruch. A curse doesn't cleave with a blessing. This is why he was adamant, Avraham, that he should not take a daughter from this land, but rather go back to his family who are from Shem. The Shidduch wouldn't be good. They wouldn't cleave well. Now we find that this was the case with Avraham, and this was the case with Yitzchak and with Yaakov, that they all went back to take children, to take daughters from there. But later on we find that they married Canaanites, because otherwise there was no difference. I mean, as far as Jews, there were no Jews yet. They were all Bnei Noach, the sons of Noach. There were just those that kept the seven mitzvahs and those that didn't, besides the actual Zerah, the actual seed of Avraham. We find later on, according to one opinion, the 12 sons of Yaakov married Canaanites. Why was this? Because Avraham was basically concerned in the Yisod Habayis, in the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Here we were building the foundation of Klal Yisrael. The foundation is Avraham and Sarah, and Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Rachav Aleah. Then there was the foundation, and from here came the 12 sons. So the foundation was already built. After that, it wasn't necessary to be adamant only for the seed of Shem. This is what we see. So from here we can learn something. We see that Abraham's main concern when it came to choose a Shidduch for his son was A, that it should be the type of Shidduch that can stay together. Ein Oru Medabik Beboruch. If you take someone that is cursed and someone that is blessed, they will not cleave together. So his main concern was to find a woman for Yitzchak, that the zivug would be Eile Yofa, that it would be two people, that from the two people can become one. Secondly, we see that he was interested that it was such a zivug, such a shidduch, that from there would come blessed children. Because he was interested, as we said, in the foundation of the Beis Yisrael, the house of Israel. So we learn, when you go looking for a shidduch, for a wife, for a husband, the main concern it should be that it should be two people that can cleave together as one. There should be nothing that should disrupt or disturb this unity. And that from there should come blessed children. which we'll see later on, is really not two things, but is one thing. It's not two principles, but one principle. The Rabbeinu Bechaya, which I mentioned before, he brings out here, points out, that we notice that Avraham did not take money into consideration. Or did he take fame or nobility into consideration? When he told Eliezer to go search for a wife, he didn't tell Eliezer to negotiate a good marriage settlement, see how wealthy his family is, because he lost contact with him. He didn't know what was going on. Or he didn't say, see what their social position is. And he writes, and this is, we know many times it's common amongst people, it's very common that they marry, when they make a marriage, so money plays a big role, social position plays a big role. You see, Avraham was not concerned with that. But rather he was concerned with the principles that we brought out. Now, incidentally, on this principle that one marries and takes into consideration money, this is a halacha in Eben Ezer. In Eben Ezer, Simon Bays, the Rama brings, Kolanesi Isha Psula Mishum Momen Havien Lon Bonim Sheinem Ugonim. First he brings from the Shailas and Shuvas of the Rivosh, whoever will marry a woman who's Psula, this means a woman that for some reason is prohibited to marry, and he marries her because of money, there's a good marriage settlement, so Havien Lon Bonim Sheinem Ugonim, then the children will not be good. Children from such a unity will not be good. But if it's a woman that's permissible, so then if he marries for the sake of wealth, then it's alright. Then it's permissible. That's one halacha that he brings. And this he brings from the Shailas and Shuvas of Rivosh. Then immediately after he brings another halacha. Someone made an engagement and it was on the basis of a good marriage settlement, a lot of money would come forth from the side of the Kala. And then the Kala's family backed out. They backed out from the money promised, which they're not allowed to do, but they did. Now this person wants to be mevatel the shidduch. He wants to nullify the agreement, nullify the engagement. So the halacha is, lo yagin kalosi mishum zeh. You're not allowed to nullify the agreement because of this. You should not uphold the marriage. You should not delay or cancel the marriage because of money. Lo yisketetu ba'avur nixa ishtei. And in general, you should not quarrel over wealth which is coming in to the marriage from your wife's side. And whoever does so, he will not succeed. And this unity will not be a good unity. Because money which a person gets through marriage, through marrying a woman, it's not money which is upright. Therefore, he shouldn't put too much reliance on it. And whoever relies on it too much, and is too adamant over it, this is called Naisisha Mishum Mammon, this is called marrying because of wealth. And the Chazal tell us, if you marry because of wealth, then you cannot look forward to good children. Everything whatever your father-in-law or mother-in-law will give you, then take with a good eye. Whatever they, be it a little, be it a lot, take with a good eye, and then you'll have success. Now, the question is asked that there seems to be somewhat of a contradiction here. Because in the beginning, when he brings, incidentally, this last halacha he brings from the Beis Yosef b'shem the Or Chaim. Because in the beginning, he writes that as if the woman is prohibited to you and you marry for wealth, now that's not good at all. Say. But if she's permissible, then it will be all right to marry for wealth. And in the end, he comes out and says, you shouldn't marry for wealth at all. So, the commentaries explain, the Chelkis Mechekek explains that we say that you're allowed to marry for wealth, that's only if they willfully give you, are willing, believe, told, berotzen gomor, to give you the wealth. If a man says that I have a daughter, and I'd like to make a shidduch with you, or with your son, and I would be willing to give an amount such and such, and he wants to do it, then it's all right. But to uphold or cancel the engagement agreement because of this, or to cause himself to delay his marriage because he's looking for a woman which he could get a lot of money with, that's also, that's forbidden. So this means that if you have an offer of a wealthy woman or a woman from a wealthy family, that's all right. But to cancel a marriage because of this, or to delay marriage because of this, because you haven't found yet a wealthy woman, that you're not allowed to do. And then he brings from the Or Chaim himself, Rabim nicholim ba'aveira kishe'enem nesen isha milheira. He says, many are nichshol, many people fall because of this halacha. There are many people who delay their marriage because they have an eye out for a wealthy shidduch. And they delay their marriage. And he says, that's an aveira. If there's a wealthy shidduch available, so then you can take that into account. But if there's none, and you delay your marriage because of that, he says, that's an aveira. And many trip over to this halacha. And on these people it says, whoever marries because of wealth, they will end up having children who are alien to them. So this is how the Chelkis Mechekek explains this. The Vilna Gaon, in his Pirush, his commentary, he goes one step further. He says no. He goes one step further. He says that the only time that a person is allowed to marry for wealth, and that's what the Rama was referring to in the beginning of the halacha, that's where he would marry this woman even without the wealth. If he's interested in a certain woman, he wants to marry her, and her father offers 100,000 rand marriage settlement, if he would marry her, even though she didn't have any money, but now that the father's offered it, he takes it, that's not considered marrying because of wealth. And that's permitted. Because without the money, he would have married her. So that's not considered what the Chazal referred to, marrying because of wealth. But if that's one of the cheshbeinus why he's marrying the woman, that's one of the considerations. In other words, he's offered a shidduch, and together with it, 100,000 rand. Home, a car, so forth and so on. And he's not so certain that he's interested in the woman. He's not so certain. And without the money, he would not be interested. But because of the money, that makes him definite that he's interested. That's anasim mishumamas. That's marrying because of wealth. Because wealth is playing a role in his decision to marry. And that's not allowed. See, he goes even one step further. See, the first interpretation from the Chelkis Mechekik was that you're not allowed to squeeze money out, or you're not allowed to cancel marriages because of money, you're not allowed to delay marriage because of money. But if someone gives you an offer, so you can use that as, willfully gives you an offer, you can use that as a consideration. The Vilna Gaon says no. That cannot be a consideration whatsoever. That must not play any role in the decision to marry this particular person. If you make a decision to marry this person regardless of money, then by all means, all money which is given to you, you can take. And that's not considered marrying because of money, because you would have married her without any money. But if the decision is brought about also because of the consideration of the marriage settlement, that's marrying because of money. Marrying because of wealth, and this you're not allowed to. And in such a case, the Chazal tell us that the children very likely might not turn out well. So this is the halacha in regards to marrying for wealth, and we see that by Abraham this was not a consideration whatsoever. Then we learn further. Pasuk Yud, Vayikach Ever Asor Gemale Migmale Adonov. The servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master. Vayilev Vachol Tuv Adonav Biyodei. And he went and he took all of the good things of his master with him. Avram wanted to make sure that the family would accept. Vayokam Vayilech Al Aram Naraim El Yinochor. And he went to the city of Aram Naraim, the city of Nochor, Avram's brother. And there he took and he rested the camels outside of the city, right near a Be'er-Moyim, near a well. A spring of water towards evening when the people were coming out to give drink to their flocks. The Medrash brings out that we find that Eliezer went to a well when he wanted to look for a shidduch for Yitzchak. We find Yaakov went to a well. Yaakov went to look for his wife. He also went to a well. And we find that Meshe also. Meshe, Yaakov met Rachel. Meshe went to Midian. It was by a well that he met Zipporah. This is what the Medrash brings out. Could this all be coincidental? So we see from here that a well has something to do with finding one's prospective bride. The Maral explains several places, and I believe here in Gorayi and in Boris Hashem, that Hamokam Gorim, location, has an impact. And a well, the principle of a well is very similar to the principle of a woman. Because a well is a source of brocha. A well is where you have water deep in the ground, which is the source of water. As far as our eyes can see, water that comes into this world, that comes above ground, its source is underground. And it endeavors to come up, the water. So a well is a source of brocha, which brings its brochas upwards. This is also a woman. A woman is a source of brocha, and she brings her brochas upwards that when her husband is in the proper role, she brings her brachas upward to him. Therefore, she's very similar to the principle of the well. And therefore, a well is a place that can have an influence where one can find his prospective color, his prospective bride. With this, we can understand the Gemara. The Gemara brings in Yevamos, Daf Samach Beis, the Gemara is bringing, is mentioning several things that call Odom Shein Lo Isho, that if a man doesn't have a wife, what he lacks. So it mentions one of the things which is mentioned, call Odom Shein Lo Isho, Shori Bele Brocha. Whoever does not have a wife lives without Brocha. The Ksiv, a Posuk in Yecheskel, which states, Lohaniach Brocha El Beisecho, that Hashem will give you Brocha to your house. The Gemara always says that when it states house, a home, it refers to your wife. Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you brocha to your house. This means in your home, to your wife. That the source of brocha that comes to man is through his wife. Therefore, Mishe Dor Belei Isha, Shori Belei Brocha. He who lives without a wife lives without brocha. There's another Gemara that states, a person should be very careful with the honor of his wife, because all of the brocha that he finds, the physical brocha that he finds in his house, that he finds in his bread, that comes only because of his wife. And on this basis, Rava told the people of his city, he said that your wives, Kedeshis Ashru. Give honor to your wives in order that you may become wealthy. If you'll treat your wives properly, you'll become wealthy, you'll have brocha. Because the woman is the source of the brocha that's brought to her husband. And therefore, it's like a well that is a source of water. Which water is brocha, that's brought up to the world. We also find that the Gemara brings a Masech, the Tainus, I believe it's in Daf Yud Dalet, Gimel Matonis Nitnu Yisrael, Bamidbar. There were three gifts given to Klal Yisrael in the desert. One was the mon, that the bread which came down from heaven, that was given Meshus Moshe. One was the Anani Akovet, the clouds of protection and honor, which were given b'shus Arad. The third was the Mayon, was the Be'er, the spring of water that went with them for 40 years in the desert, that was given b'shus Miriam. So here again we see that the Be'er, the spring of water, identifies with a woman. So therefore he went to a well. Then he said, Vayemar, Hakre Hashem Elokim Avraham, Hakre Ro Lefana Ayim Vasichesed Iman Adoni Avraham. Elokim Adoni Avraham. He said, the God of Avraham, you should do chesed with me. Hine Anechi Nitzav Alein Amoyim. I'm standing here by the spring of water, and the daughters of the city are coming to draw water. Vayoh Nara Sharim Eileo Hatino Chadech Veshteh. He says, let me, we'll play a game. See. I'll give a sign, and you make it, so the sign will be fulfilled. That's how I know that this is the right one. See. Because Eliezer knew he had a job to do, but he didn't. How could he identify the one that will be the right one for his son Yitzchok? So he said, the young girl that will come. And I will say to her, please give me some of the water from your jug. And she will say, Shasei, drink. And not only that, but I will also give waters to your camels. This is the one, this will be proven then, that this will be the one for Yitzchok. And through this I will know that you did chesed with my master. And before he finished speaking, and here Rivka came, the daughter of Bisuel, the daughter of who was the son of Milcah, the wife of Noah, the brother of Abraham, and the jug on her shoulder. She was very beautiful, very, very beautiful. And he ran to her, and he said, give me some water from your jug. And she said, Say Adoni, drink, my lord. And after he finished drinking, she said, Gam legmalech ashov, I will also bring water for all of your camels. There were 10 camels. So therefore he knew that this was the one. And he hadn't even asked her yet what family she's from. He didn't even know this was from that family. Only later on, see, does he ask her. Later on, he right away he gave her. He gave her the Nezimzov back in Mishkole. He gave her a golden ring, and so forth, and bracelets. And then he asked the Basmiat, who are you the daughter of? Now the question is asked, how was Eliezer allowed to make such a sign? See, this sign, this seems to be very close to, such a sign seems very to be very close to some supernatural exercise here. This is very similar to superstition or sorcery, that if such and such a thing happens, then I'll know it's right. If it doesn't happen, I won't know it's right. And this is what is called menachish. And the Jew is not allowed to do it. So how did Eliezer do it? And even if we answer that Eliezer was not a Jew, therefore he was allowed to do it, even if we say such an answer, there is an opinion in the Gemara that holds that a Ben Neach, this also is included in the mitzvahs for the Ben Neach, for even those who are not Jews, that they're not allowed to be menachish, they're not allowed to get involved in superstitious signs and omens. This is a kasha, this is a question that Rishonim ask. And we just learned this question. This is in Chulin and Daf Tzadik Hei. And Daf Tzadik Hei Amud Beis Teisves asks it. The Ran, Teisves gives one answer, but the Ran and the Gurai say a different answer altogether. And they say that this is not menachish. This is not a question of omens and signs. Omens and signs is when you deal with something which has no logic to it whatsoever. For example, if you say that I'm going to get up this morning and if I'll hear the birds singing, that'll be a sign I should make this business deal. If when I get up I don't hear any birds singing, that'll be a sign I shouldn't make the business deal. Or when I come out of my door, if when I drive, come to the first robot and it's green, that'll be a sign I should go ahead with it. If it's red, that'll be a sign I shouldn't go ahead with it. Now there, these signs and omens have no logical bearing on the accuracy of your decision. So if you do rely on these signs and omens, this is what is called menachish. And this is borders on sorcery, and a Jew is not allowed to involve himself in these things. But Eliezer didn't test her with one of these signs. Eliezer did not test her with one of these signs. Eliezer tested her with Gemilas Chesed. Eliezer said, I'm going to give her a test. If I will ask her for water and she will say, Shasei Adoni, drink. And I will also draw water from your camels. I will test her with Gemilas Chesed, with kindliness. If she has the mito of Chesed, then then this is the one that's proven that it should be for the for Yitzchok. If she doesn't have the mito of Chesed, then it's proven she's not for Yitzchok. He wasn't testing her with omens and signs that have no bearing on an accuracy of a decision. He was testing her with good, sound logic. I have to find someone who's befitting for Yitzchok. Yitzchok is a great tzaddik. And Yitzchok is the son of Avraham. And Avraham is the Amud HaChesed, he's the pillar of Chesed. Avraham is the one who taught kindliness to the world. So for someone to come into Avraham's house and be the wife of Yitzchok, she's also going to have to excel in Chesed. She is also going to have to excel in Chesed. So therefore he tested her in this. And this is what Rashi says. See, Rashi says, Ruhi hil shetehei gemeles chasodim kedai likonis bebeisen shel Avraham. If she's a gemeles chasodim, then it's befitting for her to come into the house of Avraham. So it wasn't a question of omens and signs. It was a good logical conclusion. And therefore it has nothing to do with menachish, with sorcery. Now, what do we see from here? We see that when you go look for a prospective zimuk, either a wife or a husband, don't depend on signs and don't depend on omens, but you must examine good the quality. There are qualities. If there are qualities of chesed, then it's someone that's very good. If they lack good qualities, then it's someone that you should be aware of. This is what Eliezer was interested in. Now Eliezer in particular was interested in chesed, because we mentioned that Avraham was chesed. We've mentioned many times that the Rambam brings in Perek Yud of Hilchos Matnas Aniyim that someone who doesn't have chesed in his heart and someone who doesn't have tzedakah in his heart, then it's questionable, it's very dubious if he's from Zer Avraham, if he's from the children of Avraham. Because Avraham emblazed so strongly chesed on his children that they are all Balei Chasodim. So therefore this is a test. This is a test not only for Avraham's house, this is a test for all Jewish homes. Someone that's going to come into a Jewish home, they're going to have Midas HaChesed. Now really this is a Gemara and this is a Halacha in Ebenezer. In Ebenezer it's brought, but it brings three signs that when you look for a Shidduch, there are three signs you should look for. In Simon Beis, Siv Beis at the end of Siv Beis. V'chein, mi shiyesh be'aziz ponim, v'achzorius, v'seines abriyos. V'enegeim alehem chesed, cheshishin b'yesh Hashem egibuni, gimeinehu. If someone is an asponim, asponim means where they're very, very arrogant. A person who's very, very arrogant, and what we would say is molei chutzpah. See? Arrogant and full of audacity. Or achzorius, someone who's ruthless, who's cruel. Or seineas abriyas, someone who hates people. Hates people. In a game of them chesed. Therefore he cannot do chesed for them. Be careful, the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch. You must be careful when you're looking for a shidduch, and either he or she has these midas, these qualities, be very careful. Why? Because these are not midas Yisrael, these are not qualities of Yisrael. They could be from the Gibeinim. There was a tribe that came during Moshe's time and later on during David's time and seeped into Klal Yisrael, and some of them became assimilated in Klal Yisrael. And they didn't have these qualities. The Gongs also, it's possible they could be from the Erev Rav. When Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt, there were many that went with them. They were Magayer, but they were converted, but they were not good converts. And they seeped into Klal Yisrael. So therefore beware. When you go look for a prospective husband or wife, You have to look carefully. But what should you look for? Not necessarily, like we saw, the bank account. But you should look at the qualities of the person. And that's what Eliezer was testing Rivkin. If a person doesn't have these qualities, if they're cruel, or if they're senes abrius, they're bale machlekes, they're quarrelsome and they hate people, or they're asponim, they have a lot of chutzpah, then he says, cheshishin, must beware, must be careful. Where is the, one of the sources of this halacha? This is also a Gemara in Yevamos in Perek Or, by the Gibonim. The story of the Gibonim. It's a divine test. The Gemara brings Omar Shleisha Simonim. The whole Shaila with David, he wanted to know, should he accept the Gibeonim, should he chase them out, and so forth. They said, Shleisha Simonim Yesh Bu Mezu. But Klal Yisrael has three Simonim. They're Rachmonim, they're compassionate, they're Baishonim. Baishonim means they are reserved. They're shy. They're bashful. Just the opposite of chutzpah. To be shy, and to be reserved, and to be bashful, to be a low profile, this is a siman of Israel. To be a chutzpah, that's not a siman of Israel. Vegemle chasodim. And they're gemle chasodim. That they do chesed. And the Gemara brings these sources. One of the sources for this is the Posuk, Leman Asher Yitzav, is born of a Beisai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I know Avraham will command his children after him to guard the Derech Hashem, la'aseis chesed u'mishpot, to do chesed, kindliness and justice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know that Avraham will command his children after him to do chesed and mishpot. This means that the children have to do chesed. And if they don't do chesed, they might not be the children. This is what the Gemara tells us. So therefore, this is another very important element. And Eliezer tested Rivka with Chesed. It's interesting to note here that he didn't only test her with Chesed. He tested her with Chesed and with additional Chesed. He said that, I'll ask her for some water. If she'll say, Say Adoni, drink water, my lord. V'gam gemalecho eshov, and also the camels I will give water to. Then esho echachto. This is the one that's proven to be for Yitzchok. Why did he have to do that? He should have just said, I'll ask her for water, and she'll say, Shesei Adoni, drink water, my lord. It'll be sufficient. No, he said, if she'll say, drink water, v'gam gimalecho, and also your camels I will give water to. Eisei chachto, this is the one. But he never asked for the camels. See, he tested her not only in the fundamental chesed, but in an additional chesed also. Why did he do that? There's a simple reason. The essence of chesed is not to do what's needed. The essence of chesed is to do beyond what's needed. When you do what duty requires, that's not chesed. See? That's deen. That already is closer to deen. When you do what you should do, when you do what's necessary, that's not chesed. That's what is known as deen. Mishpot. You're doing justly. Chesed, the Gemara says, is lifnei mishuras hadin. Chesed is beyond justice. That was the greatness of Avraham Avinu. I'll give you an example. Avraham, it states in the last parsha, Hu yeshev Pesach ha'el kichem ayom. He's sitting in the front of the tent during the heat of the day. Yeah. What's he sitting in the front of the tent during the heat of the day, especially with sick? He just had the bris milah. It was Yom Shlishi, the Milose, the third day of the Milah. He's looking for travelers that he can take care of. Now,
If a traveler comes and he needs a place to sleep and he needs to eat, so you give him. But if there are no travelers, so it's also good. That wasn't good by Avraham. Avraham is trying to find travelers. Avraham is not only fulfilling the needs of people, he's trying to find the people in order that there should be some needs to fulfill. That's chesed at its greatest level. To fulfill a need which is here, that's not a great level of chesed. It's great to do. It's not a great level of chesed. That's called din, or it's called stokko. But to fulfill needs which are not even here yet, to seek to do a chesed, that's chesed at its real level. That was the chesed of Avraham. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech wrote in Mishle. Redev stokko v'chesed. Redev chesed. Not that you do chesed when the situation calls upon it, but you pursue chesed, even though the situation does not call. Therefore, Eliezer was not satisfied to test her merely in the elementary level of chesed. He says, if I come, there were many. There were many that he would have come to and said, can I have some water? And they said, yes, here, take some water. A traveler, he's hot, he's dusty, he's dirty. He's thirsty. Yeah. Take some water. But Eliezer was not satisfied with that. He says, if she'll say, no, that this is the chesed, the type of chesed that Avraham had in the world. So this is the midah of chesed at its best. Where not only one fulfills chesed when the demand is there, but one wants to do chesed even when the demand is not there. In reality, this chesed is in particular very close to a woman. Because we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he gave her this power of chesed, where she wants, by nature, she wants a child in order to be able to do chesed to the child. She wants a husband in order to be able to do chesed to the husband. If you have a child, he has to be taken care of. If you don't have a child, there's nobody to take care of. She wants a child in order to be able to do chesed to the child. She wants a husband in order to be able to do chesed to the husband. This chesed, in particular, is very close to the world. This goes back to the Be'er, to the spring, to the well, what we spoke about. The well has waters and wants to give forth its waters to the world. That's why the waters seek to come out. The woman is a source of brocha. She wants to give this brocha, see, into the world. She wants to give this brocha into the house of her husband. Therefore it states, Lo adiach brocha el beisecho, that through her she brings brocha into the house. Another very important point, just to make mention here, as we mentioned it once before, is what the Chofetz Chaim Zichron Brocha writes in the Sefer Avos Chesed, that from here we can see the great reward of Achnosas Orchim. Because Rivka fulfilled the mitzvah here of Achnosas Orchim, the particular type of chesed that she did was Achnosas Orchim. Take care, taking care of travelers. What was her reward? Her reward was that through this she came into the house of Avraham Avinu. She became one of the Imos, the matriarchs. She became the wife of Yitzchak and the father of Yaakov. All because of an act of Achnosas Orchim, of welcoming travelers. She says, from here we can see what kind of reward there is for this mitzvah. What's important to remember, too many of us, but even most of us, this is human nature, we are satisfied to merely fulfill the need. We are satisfied to merely perform our duty. That's not chesed. Chesed is when one performs chesed when there's no duty to perform. When one seeks chesed when there's no need for it. That's a very difficult level. That was the level of Avraham Avinu. That's why we mentioned many times, the Maral writes that the quality of chesed is a spiritual quality, not a physical quality. It's beyond physical limitations. Because physically a person is very is very satisfied if he'll perform his duty and finished. That power to rise above and want to do more, that's a tremendous spiritual power. That was Avram's chesed. So that's what Eliezer tested Rivka with. Eliezer then went into the house with Rivka and he told him over the story. The entire story he told him over. And incidentally, the Chazal bring here, Rashi quotes it. But we see so much elaboration. Many times the Torah will teach us many, many halachos with one word, or even one extra letter. And here we see so much elaboration. Yofes sichosein shel abde yofes. Yesem yiteirot shel abonim. It's more dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the conversation of the servants of the Oves of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, than the entire Torah, Droshos, of the children. The whole conversation is repeated here. And then Bisuel said, Vayan lovenu Bisuel vayemru me'ashem yotza adover. What can we do? Me'ashem yotza adover. It's very clear that this has come from Hashem. This is one of the sources. This is a source that the Gemara brings from the Torah, that Shiduchim are made in Shomayim. Shiduchim are made in heaven, because it states here, Me Hashem Yotza Adover. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara learns not only this Shiduch, but all Shiduchim. Then he said, Eliezer said, well, if we have finalized everything, so let me take Rivka and we'll go. So there was a discussion, and then they said, Vayemru Nikla Narav and Ishala Espio. Let's call the Nara, let's call the last, and we'll ask her. So the Gemara brings from here, Rashi brings from Medrash, Mikan Shei Mesin Asi Ishala Midaito. You're not allowed to marry off a daughter, or any woman, without her consent. You must first get her consent. From here we learn that you must not force anyone into a shidduch. You must have their consent. To force them into it is not good. Then it states, Vayivorchu es Rivko vayemru lo acheseinu at ha'ir alfei ravoha v'ira zarechei shar seinov. They blessed Rivko. They gave her a brocha. And then they said, acheseinu at ha'ir alfei ravoha. Our sister, you should be for alfei ravoha. You should be, tens of thousands should come out from you. And your seed shall inherit the gates of their enemies. Incidentally, at our chasanas, right before the chuppah, we have what is called the badekin. That's where the chosim, together with the elders of the community, go to the kala, and he takes the veil and puts it over the kala's head. Then the people there are supposed to say this brocha. Yachaseinu at ha'ila alfei ravoha. That our sister you should be, come tens of thousands. But this brocha, it states, Vayivorchu es Rivka. They blessed Rivka. This was not only a blessing of good words, but it was actual brocha. Tosfos brings a Masechta Ksubos for Masechta Kala.
that this was an actual brocha, like we make. He says, Mesechta Kala brings a raya from here, a proof from here, that for the brocha by a chosid mekala, you need a minyan, you need 10 people. Now, our Gemara brings a proof that you need 10 people for bichas kasanim, for sheva brochas. Sheva brochas that we make under the kupa, by doing the 7 days of the mishta, of the celebration, you need a minyan, 10 people. Our Gemara brings a proof from Boaz and Ruth, because it says, Vayikach le'asor anoshim. When Boaz married Ruth, he took 10 people. What did he need 10 people for? The Gemara says it's a proof that he was going to make birchas chasanim sheva brochas, so it's a proof that you need a minion, 10 people. So Tesis asks, what does our Gemara, the Bavli, have to go to Ruth for, which is just in the Tanakh, in the Nach? Why didn't they bring from here, which is in the Torah? Masech Tekala brings a proof from here that you need 10 people for a brocha, for the brocha. So Teshva says, it could be that this is not speaking by the Birchas Kasanim, by the Sheva brochas, but this is speaking by the Birchas Eresim. There are two sets of brochas. Because when you give the ring to the Kala, that's the first part of marriage. That's the Kedushin, the Eresim. Then we make Birchas Eresim. Then afterwards, there's a second part of marriage, which is known as chupa, nesuin, and that's the sheva brochas. So he says, this could be speaking by birchas ershin. Now we see, therefore, that this was birchas ershin, we see there was a marriage. Usually we would learn this parsha, that Eliezer was just doing some legwork for Yitzchok. He went, and he took Rivka, and he brought Rivka back to Yitzchok, and there Yitzchok married Rivka. But from the Masechta Kala we see now that Eliezer performed the marriage right here. How could he? With the din of shlichus. The Gemara says that you can perform a marriage through a shliach, through an emissary, through an agent. And this was common in days when Jews could not travel so easy from one place to the other. So you could appoint someone in a different land to marry that woman for you. If he agrees to be your shliach and she agrees to it, then it's a good kiddushim. So he would give her her ring, and instead of saying Harean Mekudeshes Li, that you are Mekudeshes to me, he would say Harean Mekudeshes LeRuven, you're Mekudeshes to Reuven with this ring. And if there was agreement and two proper witnesses, it would be a good kiddushim. And that's a way a person could guarantee a kiddushim in case they didn't want to lose each other, even though they could not come together at that point. So usually we would learn this, that Eliezer merely was acting as a vehicle to transport Rivka back to Yitzchok. Not so. Eliezer married Rivka for Yitzchok. The Kedushin took place right there. The Chizkuni also brings this. But he says this brocha was not only birchas eresin, brocha was also birchas nesuin. This brocha where they blessed Rivka by Yivorchu was not only the eresin, the first set of brochas, but was also the sheva brochas. The sheva brochas also. Aye. Now Teisvus, incidentally, Teisvus says that from here we see that if you're makadosh al yidei shliach, that if you make such a kedushin, you must make the brochas. Maybe you'll ask, how could you make sheva brochas? Sheva brochas is by the chupa. The chupa is only when it comes to the reshus ha-baal, into the possession of the baal, of the husband. But as long as she's in her father's house, that's not chupa yet. The answer to that is that the Gemara says that once the father gives her over to the shluchi ha-baal, to the agents of the husband, so that's already considered reshus ha-baal. She's already in the domain of the husband, so therefore that would be chupa. So they could make sheva brochas here also. So the Chizkuni learns that these brochas were not only the first part of the Kiddushin, but also the sheva brochas. Teisvus asks a question. He says, but what he doesn't understand is when we brought the proof from Ruth, there it states Asora Anoshim, there were 10 people. So we can bring a proof from there that you need 10 people. But over here, how can you bring a proof that you need 10 people? Where does it say 10 people? It says, Vayavorchu, they blessed Rivka. So be it
the brochas of the Erisin or the brochas of the Chuppah. But how can you bring a proof that there were 10 people? We can say an answer to that. The Chizkuni says an answer, and also the Ragachov states that Eliezer took Asor Gemalim, he took 10 camels. We can ask why 10? He took 10, the Dafke, because 10 camels would give him 10 camel riders, camel drivers. He took the Dafke, 10 camel drivers, because he wanted a minion, because he knew he was going to make a Kedushin there, and he'd have to make a Brocha, so he wanted a minion. I think the Ragachov adds to that, then he should have only taken 9, because he's one. The answer is, it's brought that an Eved, you cannot use an Eved for a minion. This is a Gemara Masechta Brochas. When Bayos Reb Lezer, he had to free his Eved when he wanted to make him a servant, when he wanted to make him part of a minion. So we have a proof there for a minion also. Now, with this, all of this, we can understand something else. As a Gemara Masechta Kedushin, the Gemara tells us a principle. When you go to look for a shidduch, what is the derech eretz? What is the way of the world? Should the man go look for the woman, or should the woman go look for the man? Who should travel to who? So the Gemara brings in Kedushin Daf Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says Sanya Rav Shimon Aimer. Rav Shimon says Mivnei Ma Omre Teira Ki Ikach Ish Isho Velei Kosav Ki Tilokach Isho LeIsh. Why does it say in the Torah when a man will take a wife, and does not say when a woman will take herself to a man? It says when a man will take a woman, that's what it says in the Sedra of the Kiddushin, and doesn't say when a woman will take herself to a man. Why? Because the Seder HaBriya, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, was that man goes after the woman, not that the woman goes after the man. Moses says, why? Why did he make it like that? What would be wrong if the woman would go and take the man? So the Gemara says a reason, it's for him. Marshal Odom Shov de Leaveda. If a man owns something and he loses it, Mi Chayzer al Mi. Balaveda Max Alaveda also. If a man owns something and he loses it, who looks for who? Does the Aveda, does the lost article look for the man? Or does the man look for the lost article? The man looks for the lost article. So the same thing over here. It says that a Kodesh Baruch Hu created man, then he took a side of man and made woman out of it. So man is the one who lost something. So he goes and looks for the woman, not that the lost article, the woman goes and looks for the man. Now we could ask the question then, was Avraham here changing the Seder HaBriya? Did he want to change everything? He didn't. He should have sent Yitzchak after Rivka, not bring Rivka to Yitzchak. He's coming and be Mashana Maisa Bereshis. Changing the order of the world. Now it is true that he could send Yitzchak. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want Yitzchak to go out of Eretz Yisrael. That's why he said, do not take my son out. Didn't want Yitzchak to go back there. But still, see, I suppose we could have answered the question. I suppose we could have answered the question that actually Yitzchak was going after Rivka, because Rivka didn't come on her own. It was Yitzchak who sent Eliezer to go after her. But from what we see now, it's even better. Rivka didn't come after Yitzchak, and Yitzchak married her here. Yitzchak went after Rivka, and Rivka was married in her home. He did it through a shliach, he did it through an emissary, but the Gemara says, shluch ishlom kameisi. I mean, a shliach is just like the other person himself. Had he brought Rivka back here, then it would be that Rivka was pursuing Yitzchak to marry him. But Yitzchak went there, either he or Eliezer, through a shliach, and they married Rivka there. Rivka was married there. So therefore, it was within the Seder HaBriya, the order of the world, that a man must pursue the woman, see, not that the woman pursues the man. The hour is getting late. Just one final point. We all are aware that when people get married, it's a great simcha. We make a chasana. And simchas chosen v'kala, we're all aware that the simcha v'chosen v'kala is very great. And the Gemara brings in Masechta Brachos, Gemara brings in Masechta Brachos daf, Vot, Omer Beis, Omer Rav Chalvai, Omer Rav Huna, Kolanen Misudis Chosun, Veinu Misamchei, whoever partakes in the banquet of a Chosun, and he doesn't rejoice there, he doesn't rejoice the Chosun, bring rejoicing to the Chosun and Kala, he's not Misameach, Eivir Behei Keles, the Gemara brings many things that he desecrates many things. Then the Gemara says, if he does misameach them, maschore, what's his reward? And the Gemara brings many good things. It's as if he builds one of the ruins of Yerushalayim, or he brings a korban tod, and so forth and so on. At any rate, we see simchas chosan v'kala is very, very great. We can ask the question, why should it be so great? All right, for the chosan and kala, but why for the other people? Why is there such a mitzvah to be misameach? The Maral brings in Perek Dalet of Nesivas Eilam, of Nesiva Chesed. Completion and perfection, this breeds simcha. Just like when something is imperfect, something is broken, this breeds distraught. You break something, you're upset. You lose something, you're upset. It's a loss of a life. It's tragic. If you make something that has a perfection in it, then this breeds simcha. This must go hand in hand. Completion and perfection goes hand in hand with simcha. The greatest perfection of man is the zivug, is the coming together of a husband and wife. It's not only a physical perfection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this physical world, but it's also an ultimate and spiritual perfection. What's the proof, he says? Because the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes one letter of his name and puts it in Ish, and the other letter of his name and puts it in Isha, the Yud in Ish and the Hey in Ish. And through the two letters of his name, they join each other. They come together. So we see that we're dealing here not only with a physical perfection, not only with a natural perfection, but with a perfection which is beyond already a natural perfection, a spiritual perfection. Therefore, the ultimate perfection of man in this world is through husband and wife. And that's why it states, Zocha v'nekeva, v'yikra shmam Odom. Kodesh Baruch Hu made male and female, and he called their name Odom. Together, they were the complete Odom. Only together, that was the perfection. If a person witnesses perfection, it must breed simcha. If it does not, then it's a desecration to that perfection. If a person witnesses the perfection of chosen and kala, which is the ultimate perfection even beyond the physical world, then proportionately it must manifest simcha to everyone who's involved. Therefore, kol anena misimchas chosen and kala, whoever is rejoices, or whoever eats from a suda of a chosin and he doesn't rejoice, this is an affront. This is an affront to the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's such a great mitzvah to be misameach and a chasna and a chosn kala. Now we once brought not long ago, and this will give us a little more depth into this, but the Gemara brings that originally, according to one opinion, originally man was created together with woman, according to one opinion. Shnei patsufi, man and woman were created together. But it says that later on, that only later did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make woman. He divided them, and he divided woman from man, and then he made woman. So the Vilna Gaon and Mishle asks, if the ultimate was to divide woman from man, and the reason was so she could be a helpmate, so then what did he have to make them together to begin with? He should have made them separate to begin with. Why did he have to make them together and then go through this operation to divide them, make them separate to begin with? The answer is because the union which comes from man and woman, that has to be perfect. That's not a union, that's not a closeness that you find by a father and a son or a mother and a daughter or any other relatives. And all relatives, the Gemara says, that's krevus. When it comes to husband and wife, the Gemara says that's kigufa, that's like one body. This, that man and woman comes together, that has to be a perfect unity of one. How can two entities come together as one unit? Only if they were one can they come back together as one. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them as two creations, then they would have never been able to blend and to come together as one unit, just like a father and a son, or a father and a daughter, a mother and a son. But since, therefore, he made them as one unit and divided them, now they have the potential where they can come back together as one. So we see that the unity of ish vi ishtay, or chosn v'kala, that's an ultimate in perfection, in completion. Therefore, it must manifest the ultimate in simcha. From here we have a deeper insight, what the Gemara brings in Kiddushin. What he said, that it's an aveda, he lost something. Because the one who loses something, he's lacking. Not the other one, he's lacking. If he's lacking, he searches for what he lost. The man is the one who lost his perfection, therefore he searches. And through coming into this single perfection, it states in the Torah, therefore they should, Alkein Yaziv Ish Esoviv Imay, man should leave his father and mother, because he cannot be perfect there. V'dovak B'ishta, he should cleave to his wife. V'hoyu L'bosar Echad, and there'll be one flesh. So Rashi says, through the offsprings. Because the offsprings are one unit to begin with. They are one unit to begin with, made up of both. That's why we find, which what we began with the shir with, that any disturbance, people are not cognizant of this today, any disturbance in the unity between man and wife, that has to affect the unity, that has to affect the unit of the children. Children are the manifestation of the unity of man and wife. If there's any disturbance in that unity, then that will show itself in the bonim, in the children. This is what we have a world today. That's why the Gemara says, Gemara brings consistently. And for example, what we quoted, that if a person marries only for money, then he'll have alien children. Because how can there be a unit, a complete unit between man and wife, if his interest is only her wealth? Then there would be alien children. And this is why we find that Avraham, when he went to search for a wife for Yitzchak, he was interested, we said, in two principles, which basically are one. Go to the back to my family, not to the Canaanim, because the Canaanim are cursed and you are blessed. Yitzchak is blessed. And a cursed with a blessed cannot cleave together, so it will not be a unit. It will not unify. It will not be perfection. And if it's not perfection, Avraham was mostly interested at this point. If it's not perfection, so first of all, the zivug will not be Eli Yofa. Secondly, it will destroy the foundation of the house, of the home, through the children, which were the foundation at that time of Klal Yisrael. These are some of the principles that we can learn in regards to pursuing a mate for oneself from this parsha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.